1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this afternoon. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth the deep thing, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but what the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to build on what we learned this morning. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to be a blessing. And Lord, just simple and straightforward and truthful. And I just pray you'd give us what we need this afternoon. Challenge our hearts and let us see the truth of your Word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning we talked about Christ being our Passover, being sacrificed for us. And we talked about that wonderful blessing it is to know that the blood has been applied. And because of the blood of Jesus, that we're not only clean, but we're safe from the destroyer, safe from the judgment of God. And then, but the idea of what they were told in that Passover, they were to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels of their house, but they were also to get rid of all the leaven in their house and get rid of it out. And that's the idea of what we do. They were have 7 days of no leaven of any kind in their houses and eat nothing that was leavened and not even have it around. And we ought to have that same idea. We ought not to eat the leaven of this world or the old leaven, the way we were raised, the old religion or whatever that we may have been in. We ought to be believing the Bible and we ought to be resting in our faith in Christ. And we ought to love God enough and be grateful enough to want to live godly and learn to live godly. And like I said, I could probably spend several hours talking about that and just going through that. That's one of the problems I have. I start going on something and all of a sudden I start getting all these verses that start popping out on me and I'm like, okay, ooh, I should put that in. And then by that time I have to start taking stuff out because I don't got too much in there, and y'all would get mad at me because, you know, I'd be preaching too long and y'all would get upset. But I will remind you, if you get in the Bible, that Brother Paul preached all night one time. And somebody was sitting up in the upper loft, a fellow by the name of Eutychus, and he fell asleep because Paul was long preaching. And he fell down, and he died. And then Paul went over there and prayed over him, and the Lord raised him up from the dead, and Brother Paul went on preaching. And I don't think Brother Eutychus went back to sleep after that. So I'm just saying, you know, you got to get yourself used to a lot of preaching. You ought to want more, not less. And not just because I like to preach, but because we need it. Amen? Anyway, let me get back on where I was at. He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, I would ask you, where is your faith? If your faith is in me, it is misplaced. Now, I try to preach straight as much as I can, but Paul came and he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul said, I didn't push myself out there as being some big name or personage that you ought to look at me as if somehow I was the reason for any good thing. He said, I came to you that, and he said, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, I didn't just try to preach to you and try to get you to try to persuade you by logic and wisdom and all these things. He said, I wanted you to see who I was and see me for who I was, and I wanted your faith not to be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And you know, when we look at this and we look at the preaching of the Word of God, and we talked some about this morning, when we talked about the fact that when Christ died for our sins and delivered us from our sins and the penalty of our sins, that He also delivered us from the power of sin, and that we have in Him, by His grace, we have the ability to overcome sin and get victory over it. We have the ability to change and to continue to change, to grow and to continue to grow. And so often we get ourselves caught in a habit of life or whatever it may be, or we get ourselves caught up in bondage to a particular sin, and we kind of get the attitude that there's no way I'll ever overcome it. But that's a lie. The problem is, we have and put our faith in the wisdom of men. And it may be your own wisdom. If you're at that attitude, well, you know, and I've talked I've preached on this a lot of times. I've talked about it a lot of times. I know some people I've tried to talk to over the years. I've tried to sit there and share the scripture with them, and I get answers like, "Well, preacher, you just don't understand." And you're right, I don't. I can't. I may be able to emphasize, and even if I have gone through the exact same thing that you have gone through, I'm a different person. But God doesn't change, does He? God's not different. But preacher, you just don't understand. Nobody knows how I feel. None of that matters. By the way, Jesus knows how you feel. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, wasn't He? He knows. He understands. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's our Savior. Oh, preacher, you just don't understand. Brother, you don't understand. Sister, you don't understand. And everything. What you're doing is you are making yourself, in your wisdom, you think you're different than everybody else. And your situation is different than everybody else's. But the Bible tells us there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, and will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. How about that? Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. Now we're not so special, are we? You have to choose between believing God or believing the way you feel. Believing God or believing the truth. Your circumstances, your situations. Believing the truth or believing an error. Believing what God can see or believing what you can see. And if you believe what you can see, if you believe your feelings, if you believe your experience and your circumstance trumps the power of God, then your faith is in the wisdom of men and not in the wisdom of God. Something to think about. And that's our default position, by the way. And it's very easy for any of us to get there. Well, I'll never conquer this. I'll never get past it. I'll never do it. And so what we try to do is we hide it away. And we make excuses for it and everything else. But Paul, when he was preaching, he said, I don't want your faith to be in the wisdom of men. I want your faith to be in the power of God. And notice something, what he talks about. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. The wisdom of this world, the wisdom of the princes of this world, it comes to nothing. Naught. Zero. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory. This hidden wisdom that God has given us, this gospel that we hold, this Bible that we hold, the wisdom that is in it. We've been talking a lot in the book of Proverbs about wisdom, haven't we? And what wisdom is and what it means and what understanding is and all these type of things. We've been talking about that. This wisdom is what God gives. And it's he ordained before the world unto our what? Glory. That tells me that God wants to change us. Wants to take me from shame to glory. You can't get a better deal than that. You can't get a better thing. But the question is, can you get there? Do you believe you can get there? If God ordained it to our glory, then why in the world would we say, it's no good, I'll never make it? You're true, you will never make it, but by God's grace you can. And he talks about this wisdom, and he said, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, whether you look at that from man, you look at the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin or whatever they called themselves, the council or whatever they called themselves, and they went to have him crucified and turned him over to Pilate, and Pilate sent him to Herod, and Herod sent him back to Pilate, sent the Lord back to Pilate, and they crucified him. If they'd have known and understood and believed who he was, they wouldn't have crucified him. They wouldn't have had any part with it. Ever said, I can't crucify the Son of God. But they didn't believe. They just thought he was like anybody else. And then we go into the true princes, if you will. Many places you can read about it in the book of Ezekiel. Talks about it. We're told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, all these things that we do. And that's talking about the devil and those angels that followed him, those devils that followed him. They are the principalities, the powers, they're the movers and shakers behind the scenes that we don't see, that are on a spiritual level, that are influencing the world and taking the world in a certain way and taking wicked men in a certain direction, which will ultimately, they will fulfill the will of God, because everything God says in the Bible will come to pass. It's 100% true. And you say, how do you know that's all going to come to pass? Because I just look at back what already has come to pass, and everything that he said was going to come to pass has come to pass, and it's done. And I look at what the Bible says man is, and it's right, and it's done. And where the world's going, and it's right, and it's done. And so now if I can trust him on all that, and the Bible's 100% accurate on all that, that I can trust it for what I can't see yet. That's the truth. I mean, I go in the, you know, if people would have believed the Bible, they would have believed the earth was round a long time ago. They just went to the book of Isaiah. Is it not he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth? And the scientists say, "Who? We proved that the earth was not flat. We proved it was round." No, you didn't. You just didn't. You're just late to the party. God told you it was round. You just didn't believe him. And you want to puff out your chest and act like somehow you figured it out. No, God told you. God told you. If they had known, if the devil had known that the crucifixion of Jesus was going to be his downfall, if he'd have understood what God was doing, he would have done everything he could to keep Jesus from dying. But in his pride, he thought by killing Jesus, he was ending salvation. He didn't know what he was doing, did he? And it's through his death that we have redemption, right? It's through the shedding of his blood. They wouldn't have stirred up the crowd to say, "Crucify him." They wouldn't have stirred up the crowd to say, "His blood be upon us and on our children." They wouldn't have done that if they understood. Now the question is, do you understand? Do you understand the wisdom of God? And this is something that you and I ought to understand, ought to grab a hold of. And when we talk about our trust and our faith being in the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man, and being in the power of God, and not the power and wisdom of men, we ought to understand this. You and I, we walk forward in our life, and we have choices that we have to make every day, and we're always tempted to make the wrong choice because the world is telling us if we go the way God says, it's going to be tough going, tough sledding. If you go it God's way, you're not going to survive. If you do it God's way, you're going to be behind. You're going to be left out. You're going to suffer, whatever the case may be. And the reality is, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. The reality is, we do it God's way. We ought to be able to look at that. And the world said, we need to kill Jesus. Devil said, we need to kill the Son of God. We need to destroy him. We need to do that. And they set about to do it. They influenced the people. Who was it that the Bible says entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot? Satan himself. So that he would be betrayed. And Judas was not saved, he was lost. He professed salvation, but the Bible makes it clear he never had it. The Bible says in the book of John, Jesus knew who should betray, who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. The Bible makes it real clear. The Bible says that all the time he walked with Jesus, he was a thief. Everybody thought he was a good guy. He carried the money bag, but he was skimming off the top the whole time. That was Judas Iscariot. And Satan entered into his heart. And he went out and betrayed Jesus. But that had never happened if Satan would understand what was going to take place. And so you and I ought to be able to look at the cross of Calvary, and we ought to be able to say, you know, even if the world says this is not the right way to go, this is the wrong thing, whatever the case may be, the world don't know anything. They don't understand anything. I ought to just trust God. I ought to just trust the power of God. I ought to believe that God can change my life. I ought to believe that God can give me what I need to get through this world. I ought to believe that God can not only help me, but He can give me the wisdom I need to make the right decisions, to do the right things. I ought to just put my faith in the power of God, instead of the wisdom of men. I don't care what 9 out of 10 doctors say. I'm going to do what God says. It doesn't make any difference what men say. God says this is right, that's it. You know, people used to always say to me, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I'll do you one better. God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not. It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. But if you believe it, guess what? Then you'll see the glory of God. Then you'll see the power of God. Then you'll see the wisdom of God. If you do that, you'll understand it. And it says, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, ear had not seen, I don't see with my ear. I'm sorry about that. I'll get the right version here in a minute. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We always use that passage in 1 Corinthians when we're talking to people about heaven, don't we? I had not seen, ear had not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that loved Him. And the idea, the attitude of this is, well, you know, there's no way you can conceive of what's going to be in heaven. But that's not proper context. That's the natural man. It says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Hath revealed what? The things that eyes have not seen. The things that ears have not heard. The things that have neither entered into the heart of man. You know, most people's idea of heaven is totally wrong when it comes to what the Bible says heaven's going to be. You know, most people think of heaven as an extension of earth. It's not. Amen. Thank God. You know, oh preacher, will I know my family? Will I know my mama? Will I know my daddy? Will I know my wife? Will I know my children? Sure you will, but not like you know them now. Oh, preacher, when we get to heaven, will we still be married? Nope, because in heaven they're neither married nor given in marriage. The relationships won't be the same. In fact, I'll go you one better. The things on this earth, the former things, shall not be remembered, neither shall they come to mind. It's going to be so much better than what you had to deal with down here. It's going to be beyond. You may not be able to describe it to the point, but you can know the reality of it by the Spirit of God that dwells in you. How many of you believe there's a place called heaven? I do. I'm 100% sure. How many of you believe that place is better than this place? I do. Amen. How many of you know you're going there? I know. Now, if you raised your hand and you think you're going there because you're a good person, you're lying to yourself. If you were a good person, Jesus wouldn't have to die for your sins. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So salvation is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood, His death, His burial, His resurrection. He's your only hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Him. So that's the reality. But if you're saved and you say, I know I'm going to heaven because I've put my faith and trust in God, you didn't learn that in a history book or a school book or anything like that. There are people that read the Bible and never get there because they don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them because they've never been born again. But if you're saved, heaven becomes real, becomes a place to be yearned for. Just an amazing thing. I got a call from my daughter the other day. I'd called her and she didn't answer. And come to find out that they were over in a hospital in Mobile with a lady that was a member of the church, and they were there, and they went to go see her, and she took sick real quick and everything like that, and she had a stroke, and it wasn't terribly serious in the sense that she had cognizance and everything like that, and they thought she was going to improve, but she took a quick turn for the worse. They didn't know what was going on. And they called the family in and everything, and then April and Brother Brandon, they went over there and they sat with her, and Brother Brandon read scriptures to her. And April said, she said, Daddy, it was just so beautiful. She said, I'm so sorry. I hate to see people, you know, pass away like that, but she said it was just so beautiful. He said, you know, she wanted Brother Brandon to read the Bible to her, and he started reading in John chapter 14, and he was reading John chapter 14 to her, and she just had a smile on her face, and she just went to be with the Lord. Died with a smile on her face. Isn't that something? That tells me that lady knows something, didn't she? She knows something. And I know something too. But not because of man's wisdom. I heard about heaven all my life. Didn't know anything about it. Brother Larry, I didn't know anything about heaven. I do now. It's real. It's real. I fully expect to be absent from this body and be present with the Lord. That's what I expect. And not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus did for me. Now, let's take that knowledge and that understanding of the power of God. You believe that God has the power to redeem you from your sins, make you a joint heir with Jesus Christ, give you an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. You furthermore believe that there is going to be, for all the things you've been obedient to God in, the way you serve God, that there's going to be a reward. You believe all that, but you got one sin or problem or issue or whatever you want to call it, circumstance. And you just say, I can't do this God's way. I can't get the victory here. That's the wisdom of men. That's not the wisdom of God. You know, the Bible says that, I believe it's in Romans chapter 6, if I'm trying to remember the passage of Scripture. We're told that, no, it's not Romans chapter 6. I don't think, let me see if that's the right one. Nope, it's not the right one, but this will do just as good. But he says this. He says, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be, this is Romans chapter 6 verse 5, in the likeness of the resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And the amazing thing, the verse I was actually looking for, Romans chapter 8, sorry, it wasn't chapter 6, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, let's go back to verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. I'm not a debtor to the flesh. I can live after the Spirit. He'll quicken my mortal body. He will give me the grace to go, the power, the availability, everything I need there, the wisdom, it's there. And that's where my faith ought to be. It ought not be in the wisdom of men. It ought to be in the power of God. You know, I believe that Jesus did all those things, but then I have trouble believing that I can get victory over this sin. I have trouble believing that if I come to an altar and confess my sin, that He's faithful and just to forgive me that sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I have trouble believing that. That means your faith's in the wisdom of man. As a young Christian, I went out, had a guy talk me into coming with him. And I hadn't been saved but a couple days. And I let him talk me into going out with him and getting in the car with him. He goes in the car and all of a sudden he's at a bar. And I'm sitting in a bar knowing I spent my entire life growing up in bars. But I'm sitting in a bar now as a child of God knowing that I don't have any business being there. And I spend the entire night with people putting liquor in front of me, trying to get me to drink it. I didn't need anybody to tell me. I didn't need to go to Bible college to know that I was in the wrong place. I was with wrong people. These were the people that I spent all my life with. And I said, I don't belong here anymore. I knew it in my heart. And I went and I wept and I didn't know what to do about it. I thought, you know, I felt so terrible about being there. And I learned. But you see, I had myself believe that somehow I had to go along with people at that time because I didn't know any better, but I found out I didn't have to. I found out I could stand on my own 2 feet. I could stand alone with God. I found out hundreds of times that the power of God is enough. That the power is real, it's there. But that's too often we get to where our faith is in the power of men. I've seen the power of God so many times. I've seen God do some amazing things. I've seen some things that I could sit here for hours and tell you of things that God has done. But I tell you what, I remember being preaching in a nursing home and seeing the power of God in the form of a man that's this tall and shoulders this broad, and Brother J.D. Norman, and he had cancer and had multiple strokes because of the cancer being up in his jaw and the nerves in his brain and everything like that. And he was the son of a preacher. And he used to tell me about his daddy. He couldn't hardly talk because they cut out most of his tongue. His family stuck him in the nursing home. His wife just pretty much took everything and went and did her thing, and he hardly ever saw his children. The only time I ever saw that man cry was when I went in there and he didn't show up for church, and I went in and I said, "Brother J.D., I said, what's wrong?" And he started weeping because his boys were supposed to be there, and they called at the last minute and said, "Oh, we're not coming." I think in the 25 years that I preached in that nursing home, and he was there for probably a good 15 of those years, in those 15 years that he was there, I saw his family visit him maybe 3 times. That I was there. They may have visited him more than when I wasn't there, but 3 times they were there when I was there. But I'd watched that man come in and walk in, and he'd just spend his days walking around helping people. Taking the little ladies that had that were out of their mind, they'd kick their skirts would be up and their night clothes would be up, and they'd be in the hallway and the people walking past them like there's not a word and everything like that, and they'd have these little shawls and things that they'd keep over them, and he'd be walking around and he'd be picking up the shawls and covering them up. Never complain. He'd come in, he'd see my kids come in the nursing home, he'd be tickled to death. He'd always have a peppermint to give them. And you go in there and I'd walk in to do the services and he'd be taking people. He'd already gone around and been wheeling people into the services. Some of them kicking and screaming. He didn't care. Tell me that's not the power of God. Where is your faith? Is it in the wisdom of men? Is it in your own wisdom? Is it in the way you feel? Or is it in the power of God? You can believe Him about heaven. Why can't you believe Him about your problem? Why can't you believe Him about the sin you're trying to overcome? The things you failed at? Why can't you believe Him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help us to believe and have our faith not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Lord, there's struggles that we all have and things that we have to face as we go through life. And Lord, we pray that You would help us to face all of those things as we ought to, and walk by faith and not by sight, but have our faith not just in things that are unknown, but have our faith in You. Faith in Your power. Believing that those things that You have said You will and can do, that You will and can do them. Help us to that end, Lord. Lord, You know what we face this coming week. You know what we have to deal with. You know the opposition. You know everything. And Lord, help us to realize that there's nothing that comes our way that You're not aware of. and there's nothing that comes our way that's too big for you. But Lord, help us to trust you and believe in your power and step forward and live by faith the way we ought to. Now, Father, as we close the service today, I just pray you'd bless each one. You know what we need. You know what we face. Help us to know that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.